All right. Nosei Tamachdan, which is a very, very important topic. One piece of it is going to be found in Hilchos Basar B'Chalav, a very important piece. So normally you get a shaila about somebody cooks something in the pot they weren't supposed to cook it. Normally what's the answer? The food is fine. The pot might be a problem. The food is fine because Nosei Tamachdan is motor. But the pot may be a problem because now it's baluah, whatever it's baluah. However, there is one other consideration. Usually, you know that we've already discussed how kitchens run, how they're supposed to run. And even though Yerodea may permit more things than are actually done in kitchens. So it's rare that I'm asked to shy in the kitchen, and my answer is no, actually, you got to do it the hard way. But the one that came up fairly recently was the need to sauté onions. So the milchuk, big milchuk frying pan happens to reside downstairs. Not enough room upstairs, and so it was for a parv dish. And the question is, could you just use the fleishik frying pan? And the answer is, you can, but your onions will be fleishik. Right? So davar charif is the one thing which we have not really touched upon, and if we've mentioned it or not, but davar charif is the one thing where it takes a tam pogo and makes it the shvach. In other words, normally certain flavors are pogame in food, except if the food happens to be a sharp food, so then it can be a problem. Then we assume that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah at the end of the second parak speaks about chiltis. Anyone know what chiltis is? Asafatida.
What did you say?
Asafatida. What did you say was some
fish thing?
No. There is dagim shalavatara, is the nap or not. Asafatida is, as its name would spell, fetid, has an awful smell. It's used primarily today in Indian cuisine, and it's, I think, the resin of a plant, and it is very strong. It is used for texture. Some use it as a digestive aid. Anyway, chiltis, the Gemara says that because of its harifus, it is mechalyale to the ism. Mechalyale in Aramaic means sweet. It sweetens, meaning it makes it to batan. It's no longer pogim. So apparently, sharp foods are pogim. And it's a big, big machalokes. The Mishnah says in Avodah Zarah, in the second paragraph, I think that on the Hamad Beis, that you can't buy chiltis from a goy, because if he cut the goy with a treif knife, then the chiltis will have the absorptions of the knife. Well, we'll get something from the knife, and it will turn what would have been pogim into shvach. It was a big machlokas, so we show him. What was the story with the knife? Is it that there are bleus in the knife, and they somehow come out because of duchaka, the sakina, the pressure of the knife, even when it's cold? Or, as many we show him claim, no, it means that the shamnunis, there's still be'en on the knife, but the be'en is, normally it's been around long enough, it's pogim, and now when you cut chiltis, the chiltis absorbs the shuman, because it's being rubbed right against it, and then it's actually turns it into nosei, it's a mashpiach in the chiltis, not pogame. In which case, if we held that way, and I think most Rishonim do, but we don't, we wouldn't have to deal with all these shaylas, because it wouldn't be a question when you weren't dealing with the end of Isser. Because if you don't deal with kelim, if you're dealing with a clean knife, a clean pot, none of this would be relevant. However, because we don't hold that way, certainly with the knife, I'll leave out the pot for time, because we don't hold that way, so we're very machamir on knives in all sorts of ways. So that's the case where Nosei Tamachdan has to be considered as a complicated issue, because by a davar charif, we say that it's what normally would be a tam pogum, now all of a sudden it's a tam l'shvach. Yosef.
Again, the knife case is a case, so you're using a knife used for,
let's see, a fleishik knife that hasn't been used in 24 hours, which is clean. Nonetheless, if you cut onions with it, we say that number one, the bleos come out because of duchak or the sakina. Number two, that the bleos, even though they're lefgam, when they come into the sharp food, they're not all of a sudden l'shvach.
Is that a blanket rule? Like, if you have a plate of cooked onions and you pour...
It's not cooked onions. It's raw onions. It has to be something that's sharp. Cooked onions are sweet.
Okay. Or so if you have a raw onion, is there nothing in the world that could be poem it if you pour, I don't know, pick some vinegar on top of your onion? We would say that.
There is a difference probably between things that are not poem. In other words, it's not inconceivable something could be poem. But remember also within pagam, you have two kinds of pagam. What are the two kinds of pagam?
There's a nipsal,
Yeah, okay, and?
And
just a little bit.
You're almost, but you're not saying it right, Danny. You can have something that's pogam mifnei atzma, or something that's not pogam mifnei atzma, but it's pogam when it goes into achayim.
That's not all I meant.
What? Okay, so then you were wrong. Well, you weren't.
I wasn't asking for the two texts that you were looking for.
I know. Just defending yourself. Busy defending yourself. Don't be so sensitive. Okay, anyway.
I'm defending myself because I think I'm right.
Or because you're sensitive.
Bell's not here. You were his cumbersome. Did you ever get in the last work with him?
It would take some work. Right.
He was nice, because the correct answer would probably no. But all right, so anyway. So it may be that the difference is it could be something that's pogomamish, that's nevela srucha, is pogam in an onion. But the assumption is that some of these ta'amim that typically are pogam in dvarim acher, maybe... Their flavor.
Can imagine some liquid that would taste terrible on an onion. But
yes, probably.
Coca-Cola or something, I don't know.
You never know.
Chalice.
Yeah. Marty?
Is that something to do with like the taste of these? Like a Dover Harp? It's like a din in the taste of that we think that isn't like, that nothing hurts that taste.
Right, I suspect, and the Gemara uses the expression that it's mechalyale. It literally sweetens it. I assume it means that within the sharp food, a pugum flavor is not quite so negative, because the sharp food is overwhelming, so now the flavor of the other food is something you get to appreciate, and its pugumness is dissipated and not there because you're dealing with the sharp food. That's the best way I can understand that, but I don't really understand.
Right, but don't we normally say that Nisiyas Tam has to actually give a Tam of something, like that saying that
it's not saying there's no tam at all. It's saying that the, you know, in a certain sense, I don't mean quite like this, but you know, if you have a nasty toothache and I kick you in the shin, the tooth may not hurt as much, right?
So it dissipates the sharpness. It doesn't.
In other words, the sharpness means that you experience the flavor now differently than you would have otherwise, and the way you experience the flavor might be positive in that.
Because it's not as sharp.
Something like that.
Could a kvela take a bite out of the onion and tell you this doesn't taste like steak?
So now you're asking a different question. Whether TMS Yisrael works, we spoke about that at the beginning of the year, and we're going to revisit it again when we get to Basar V'Challah. Okay. Yudi?
If like a Dover Harif was cooked, like you cook the onion, does it still have the same skin if you were to cut it after it's cooked?
No. Once it's no longer sharp, it's not. No. So that's why when you talk about onions, if you want to do something with cooked onions, there's no problem because it's not sharp anymore. Thank you. Most of the sharp foods. There's a question also what is considered sharp. There are those who want to claim it's only what the Gemara says, which I think is limited to Chiltis in Avodah Zarah and probably Tzinon in Kalabasa in Chulin.
Tzinon is the radish.
Radish. It's radishes, raw radishes are sharp. They're not as sharp though as onions or garlic or that whole family.
The wheat family is never listed as
what?
Like the wheat family is never...
It is. We usually assume, but some posts can say no. Because look, the problem is that you have to, in order to answer things, you have to put together a lot of homers, which many of us probably do anyway, which is you have to assume that the Gemara was talking about a knife that was clean. And you have to assume that even you know, ben yomo. And you have to assume that what you're dealing with is a davar harif. Right? So any of those can theoretically serve as reasons, are there shitas, to knock out an actual concern when there's a real hesed, yes.
So just lemaisa, if I thought coffee and raw onion tasted terrible together and my Orla coffee spilled onto my onion, would I be allowed to eat the onion?
The stomach. I don't know.
That's the nice of you,
Orla. I'm saying, like, are we saying that, like, that an onion can never be pagam, like a raw onion can never be pagam, or is there...
No, I don't think it can ever be pagam. Okay, so let's take a look at the Mishnah. There's our note, by the way, that... We did see an earlier Mishnah, or I don't know if it's earlier than this Mishnah, but a Mishnah we saw previously that does make clear that no same time is mutter. Anyone remember what that was?
It's the same language,
grapes.
Not this Mishnah.
It wasn't this Mishnah? Because
the barley
Thank you, correct. The barley. The barley that fell into the boar. Right, so the Mayim are now with Shruchim. So they're Moses. All right, so what does the Mishnah say here in Avodah Zarah? I need a leader.
Ooh, I did.
I haven't heard you a lot.
Where are the Mishnah about the barley in Azimah?
Where's the Mishnah about the barley in Trumos?
Trumos?
Probably Karagiot or something like that.
Yain esach shenafal gabei anavim yadichan vehein mutarot.
Why?
Because the washing won't, if the wine got into the inside of the grape, washing it wouldn't.
Right, the wine's on the outside of the grapes, you rinse it off. If the grapes are mevukaot, then you can't get the wine out. And the assumption is the wine is not mostly time we've done certain grapes. We haven't gotten that far. Now, obviously, what must be with these grapes? There's something you have to have with these grapes. Otherwise, they're mevukaot by definition.
Piece of the stem.
Yeah, they have to be attached to the stem or a piece of the stem, otherwise. The grape is by definition mevuka. Okay, fine. Go ahead.
Okay, if it falls on
dates or figs or dates, then in yeshba benotin tam it's asur if they can taste it. So now the Mishnah tells a story. So the question is, what seems to be going on here?
That he has his grower fruits that are like date pits, right?
No.
Dry pit. You look that up in the jazz. You look that up in the jazz drawer.
Garin. Garin asa.
So he has dried figs and a barrel of yain nesef breaks and spills onto the figs. And the Chachamim said that the figs were mutter to eat.
So why were they mutter to eat?
Mara says, because they're dried.
Okay, when you read the Mishnah, why is it seen as the Mutter
Eid? Because I assume that it's...
Until you get then, you could say that it wasn't Nosei Tam. But now the Mishnah provides us with perhaps the reason. Zakal
Kol Sheva HaNatov Noting Tam Asur, Kol She'in Baha HaNatov Noting Tam Mutar, Yon Chomet Shafal Gabay Grisim.
It's a funny formulation, but it means basically, I would have said Kol Sheva HaNatov Noting Tam, but rather, kol sheb b'no seintam ein lo hana, or yesh lo hana, is asur ein lo hana is mutter. That's the formulation of the Mishnah. So if you don't benefit from the flavor, then it's mutter. If you do benefit from the flavor, it's asur. So the question is, how literally is one to take this? The literal reading is important for a machlokas that we've shown that I assume you've seen.
Well, the question is is material hana actually a concern, or does all the care about taste? Because the Ran seems to assume that there's...
Correct. So the Machlokas, the Ran, and the Rashba. What happens if you still have what volume of the Isser can you have in the Heter? Still no Seitam Gambi Mutter. So the Rashba claims that up until the majority, once you have a majority of Isser in the Heter, even though it's not saying Talmud Gam, it's called Mamasher Shalissa, the Isser is still present, so unless it's Pogum Bifnei Atzmo, unless it's Mamish Nevela Serucha, so the Rashba says it's going to be Asr. However, the Ran says he doesn't think so. The Ran thinks that even if you have a majority of Heter, and the Isser is no saying Talmud Gam in the Heter, nonetheless, if the gain you experience by the extra volume, right, in other words, you now have, instead of 1 gallon of milk, you have 1.5 gallons of milk. So even though the substance is pogame a bit in the milk, but if the benefit you get from now having 1.5 gallons, because you can serve more people, outweighs, how you figure that out, I don't know, outweighs the loss of taste, then that's, you're getting hanah from it, and therefore, no seitan lufkan is also. It's a difficult notion. It fits with the words of the Mishnah, but why is that such a difficult position conceptually? I did.
It's more reality-based than conceptual-based. Presumably, if one teaspoon of vinegar in your milk tastes bad, then if you put 2 cups of vinegar in your milk, you're not going to say, oh, I have more milk to serve now. Like, it's going to taste even worse.
That's not a good taina. Why is that not a good taina?
Moshe,
set him straight.
Why should you say that only at row? Shouldn't you be saying that the whole way through?
No, because once you have a row of isser, then it's about mashu shal isser. It's no longer a question of, you can't have bittul, you're eating the isser. The isser is not an avela srucha. The isser is edible. but it's detrimental in its flavoring of the other substance. So at this point, so if bishlama, let's say it's wine that falls into figs. So if the wine is a minority, then what you're doing is you're eating figs. Ah, but the wine is no seitam, then it's no seitam of gum. But if there's more wine than figs, I'm sure it's a good example, then you're actually eating the wine. The fact that the figs might maybe take the wine taste a little bad, that doesn't matter, because if the food if a nevela tastes a little bad, but it's not, but it's real agar, it's still a nevela. So that's why the Rashba says once you reach a rove. But what is the difficulty with the Ran's position? It's pashut. Yeah.
That when
oh, by the way, I want to answer your first comment, though. The answer is that you could have 50% if a small amount is very, very hard to detect and it doesn't put that much flavor in. It's pogame a tiny, tiny amount. When you get to a certain amount, now it's actually pogame. And that's how you bought. You also have it's not inedible, and you have a significantly larger amount of the milk.
But the Ron says it needs to be a case where the gidul midato needs to overcome. That means that I'm glad you poured.
I think the issue is, look, I'm making the best of a bad situation. It might turn out to me that it's how you calculate it. I don't know.
Put one teaspoon in, like, okay, I mean, that's a bad situation.
I didn't mean that. But what I meant was that it has to be a significant gain. Otherwise, there's nothing gained for you. Morty?
Yeah. Isn't it just that it's difficult because the Isser is in the Tom? It's not in the...
Correct. The Isser should be one of Tom. Who cares about Hanoah? Right. It's Hanoah's Te'ima, Hanoah's Achila. I mean, just because of the greater volume, that's not the... if you couldn't taste it at all, if you listen, if Isser fell into Heter and you couldn't taste it at all, right, so up until the robe is a davar pashut.
Yeah, we don't
like mimimino.
Even things that are batel normally, we don't make you remove. When something falls into your soup, we don't make you remove a teaspoon of something because.
Correct, Danny.
Other than the Ron's explanation of how to connect the Osetam of Gam to the Zeros and Pascal of the Nevela Lager, is there another available svara for why Hanah should make a difference? Because within the Ron's svara, right, it's very reasonable to say that volume can outweigh taste because you're getting some hana from the Isser. But if you don't come onto the Ron Svara, then what other possible Svara is there for Nosein Tam Lefgam being Mutter?
I don't understand.
Right,
the question
on the Ron was very clearly not working within the Ron Svara. The Ron Svara for Nosein Tam Lefgam is that because you're not getting any hana from the Isser, so it's akin, therefore, to a nevela srucha that does not roil the gear. And therefore, right, if the volume that you're getting from the isser, if that itself gives you hana'a, right, if the volume itself outweighs the negative taste, then you could say that you're getting some benefit from the isser, and that's why it no longer falls into the category of nosein tam lefgam. But
why not?
Within the Ron.
It's not about hana'a.
Within the Ron?
So I think
it shouldn't be about Hana.
It should or shouldn't be about Hana?
It shouldn't. Even for the Ron, you have to be eating it.
Sorry?
Even for the Ron, it has to be when you're eating it.
Yes.
I know, but you're not getting Hana from the Tom.
If you could sell it for the Ron, say it's much better now that I have a cup and a gallon and a half of milk, if I could sell that for more than I would have sold a gallon of milk, that's okay?
Well, yeah, but there's no Lisa Hana on it.
But you're still, no, meaning you're not, the Ron, what, if we carefully look at the Ron spot, right, for why Nosein Tam Lefgam is a mutter in general, right, the Ron svara is that it has to be based on the fact that a nevela that's not really gair is also a mutter. So how does he get to Nosein Tam Lefgam from that stage, from nevela srucha? So he says that any isser that you add, if it's just making the food worse, is not even though it's not a nevela srucha in and of itself, you're not getting any hana'a from it.
Yeah, you're not getting any hana'as achila, I would say.
If the Ron doesn't specify this about hana'as achila.
I know. I'm not arguing with you on that. I'm questioning why that should be.
Like,
there's no issur of getting hana from nevela.
Otherwise, it's not akin to hana to nevela srucha. If you're significantly increasing your output of food, then it's still that it no longer falls under the category. Then it no longer is remotely similar to nevela srucha. it's not so much an available sriracha because it's a good thing when you eat that soup. When you eat the extra soup that you have, that's a good thing. Right? Meaning, let's say you put it away for the next night, and then you have it again the next night.
Right.
And then you put it away, and you were only going to have 2 nights worth of soup, and now you have 3 nights worth of soup. Which means that when you have the third night's worth of soup, right, you have dinner for a third night, that itself is hana.
Well, I feel like we're speaking in different languages. I understand that. I'm not denying what the hana is. I'm asking why that matters if it's not an isra hanah, if it's an isra achila. I'm never nene from the tam. In other words, look, let me ask you a question. If I have min b'mina...
You're asking on the Ron's story. You're not asking on the Ron's...
Correct.
...position based on...
I've asked, why does the Ron make it... Why is it the Ron's position so difficult? The answer is...
So first of all, can you offer a better svara for nosing tam of gam at all? Judah and I were working on this in Seder. We couldn't come up with any svara for nosing tam of gam outside of what the Ron came up with.
Well, the answer is that the Torah prohibits you to eat this food. And then, not only to eat this food, but it prohibits you of getting a hanas achila, hanas ti'ima, from this particular food. That's why you have such a thing as tam ki'ikar. And if you can't taste the food, then it's batel. If you can, it's a problem. What happens if you can taste the food, but you're not benefiting from the ti'ima because it's negative, because it makes it taste worse?
Can't taste it, and Nisir Achila is contingent upon enjoying it?
Nevela Srucha?
Again, that's nifsal me'achilas yer. It's not inedible. That's why the Ron has to trash.
So, look, for example, I'll give you an example where you see this. Achila gasa on Yom Kippur. You're patron. You might even patron achila gasa about their student. Why not? The answer is because you're not getting hanas achila.
So we have to figure that might be lash me'achila to begin with.
Why not? So why not say the same thing here? Because it's not flavorful.
Wait, so if I don't like Brussels sprouts and I have Brussels sprouts that are truma, truma d'rabbanan, whatever, then I'm not over an issue d'rabbanan.
Okay, so we don't not necessarily mishair such a thing by an individual. If the food is considered, well, we generally mishair b'derech klal. It's not your personal culinary tastes. That's very different than something that you would ask everybody and they would say, ugh, right? Or everybody would be achila, you know, anybody wants their certain fullness, eating beyond is achila gasa.
I argue that Brussels sprouts are the same, but...
In fact, not
important at the moment, but like, the point is, achila gasa, you could, without being too charitable, figure out that achila gasa is fundamentally different from other sorts of achila, not because you're not enjoying the food, but because shoving food down your gullet has nothing to do with the normal act of achila. Why is that the case?
Food down your gullet, what does that mean?
You can achila gasa if you're chewing it.
Gullet?
No, I didn't mean...
I think he's trying to paint the picture of achila gasa that you're sticky.
Let's think about you. Someone takes, you know, like malita nesachamor. Come on, Salani, put food in your mouth. You know, you know, one of the things you tamp down the gunpowder?
You have to force yourself to swallow.
What's that?
You have to force yourself to swallow.
Yeah.
Because it has...
You mean like very gross food they have to force that?
I mean, we do a taco.
No, I don't think...
No,
we're really not. Because achila gasa is a fundamentally different endeavor in achila. The real way to do this would be to first figure out the nature of achila in halacha, right? But we haven't done that yet. So I'm merely proposing that achila gasa might be a fundamentally different endeavor. It might be a fundamentally different endeavor than normal achila. If you don't like food, it's still contributing to your body's sustenance, right? That's the nature of this.
I don't want to
see the run up. Finish my sentence, okay? Okay, so if you're lucky,
by the way, that he wasn't here when I asked Adin the question. We know what he would say. Keep going. Keep going.
Okay, so achila gasa has nothing to do with what food with eating food is normally. Eating food normally is about like providing energy to your body, whatever. Like is about providing sustenance, something like that. Achila gasa is completely disconnected.
Wait, I have a question for you. What if you eat the food and promptly throw it up?
So if you eat the food and promptly throw it up, arguably that's nefsal me'achila sker.
Not true.
If you have a really finely tuned gag reflex, you're an istinus and you don't belong in this category to begin with. Most people don't vomit up food immediately just because they don't like it very much.
I didn't say because you don't like it. I asked you a question. If you eat a piece of food and you liked it, and then you vomited it up.
I don't know. I also don't see why that's relevant here, because it's not. It doesn't. Because
you talk about sustaining your body. I'm asking for a question. What happens if you
again,
eat...
Again, we're dealing with normal
what happens,
people. We're dealing with normal people.
What happens if you eat half a kazayas, and then you spit it up, And you mean eat it again?
I don't know. I don't know what the din is. What does that have to do with this?
Because I'm asking you, what is the definition of achila?
I'm defining achila by what normal people would do.
I didn't make up that question, Danny. It's a Gemara at the end of Gidon Asha.
Okay, I didn't learn the Gemara at the end of Gidon
Asha. I know. And you're sitting here and having an argument. The question of Hana, the Gemara there has a discussion whether or not they ask the question: if you eat half a kazayas of this, or then you regurgitate it. And I think they have both ways: eat a different half a kazayas, or eat that half a kazayas. And they're assuming that just because it was down in your stomach for a moment does not render it nifsal me'achila sakelav or me'achila sager. I mean, you wouldn't want to eat it if you knew where it was, but if you rinsed it off and you didn't tell him, he'd say, delicious. The Gemara wants to know, I think, whether it's hanas me'av or hanas grono. Right? So, but what both of those point to is that achila is there's an element of physical hana in the achila that is definitional. It's not necessarily even the end product. In other words, it's conceivable you eat the same half gazayas twice and you're chayim because you swallowed it, right? You swallowed it twice. So the point is, what is even the tzad? I don't remember the Gemara's maskat. I think it's the last sugya in Gidon Asha. It's the part that people don't do when they're preparing for your day. There's the four block we did, and then you skip the kalabasa. So I think that what that sugya at least demonstrates, the question of the idea that maybe it is the pleasure of the taste, and which is fully experienced when you chewed it and swallowed it, that in fact is what constitutes the iser, the rice of achila. And if that's the case, I understand quite readily why no St. Tam Lefka might be mutar. The answer is because it's, again, I'm not going to ask the question, what if you happen not to like Brussels sprouts, okay?
But when we say that a food that is agreed to be a food, but most people don't like it, or the durian or something like that.
I'm not interested in that question.
Why isn't, when we have the pasuk of so why doesn't the Gemara have that limud instead of if so, or what's the lashon the Gemara uses that it's not brought you la'achila scared?
Yeah.
Why doesn't the Gemara use the? Why do you think we use a formulation? It's like it's not tasty.
Because usually, taste and edibility are related.
They're very clearly not wholly related.
No.
Have you
ever eaten shredded wheat?
Yes, I have eaten shredded wheat. It's not my favorite food.
Tasty, huh?
I have swallowed it.
Okay.
And I have eaten it, and I have felt full afterwards.
Yes, you could swallow wood chips, and you'd probably feel full also. And grass, for that matter. Your body wouldn't digest it very well. But
would anyone argue that shredded wheat is nifsal me'achilas
ager? No, okay.
Exactly. No, that's why it's such a good point. You can have food that probably objectively tastes bad that is not.
No, it doesn't objectively taste bad. This is
your ass has never been happy that
has a there are people who would say that tasted shredded wheat is not particularly tasty. It's not particularly tasty. It's not necessarily bad tasting, it's just not particularly tasty. Okay? They don't put sugar in it. That's why it's not particularly tasty.
It was never meant to be tasty. If you look at like the history of like breakfast cereals, that
excuse me, look at it's been a long time since I was a kid and actually may have eaten shredded wheat. But go take a look at the cereal box, at least when I was a kid. You know what's in the cereal box with the shredded wheat? What do you do, of course? Sprinkle some sugar on it, okay? The pictures don't show, if I'm not mistaken, maybe now we've gotten very health conscious. But once upon a time, of course you put sugar on the shredded wheat. Because who would eat otherwise? So, but pugum, again, there are two kinds. Here's, I think, the crucial point. Here's the crucial point. If you're talking about a food which is be'en and it's edible, we agree that's not called an amela surucha and you're chayim. That's not no Saint Tam Lefkam. No, and this is where I think the point of the Rashba is crucial. If I take food A and I add it to food B and it ruins, it detracts from the flavor of food B. So bishlama, if there's more food A than food B, what I'm eating is food A. That's mamash shel yisur. You can't say that it's just being flavoring the other thing. But if there's less of A than B, so I'm really eating B. Now the only shaila is what? I'm avoiding right now the question. The Rashba seems to gloss over the question about kazayas v'achilas pras. Let's just pretend it doesn't exist. Let's just work with Rashi's rove. right? What am I eating? I'm eating food B. Ah, but I can taste A, so tam ikar might be an issue. Yes, but only if the tam is something that's enhancing, not if it's something that ruins. What am I eating? I'm eating B. Is A edible with panatmo? Yes. Does it taste very good with panatmo? Maybe not, but it's edible. I agree with you. But once you put it in B, and now I'm eating B, but the flavor ruins B, because B doesn't taste like it used to be. It's edible, but it tasted much better before I mixed A in. So it makes perfect sense why no said tam of gam yinachayavan, because the whole, if you want to say the whole issue is tam ke ikar, on some level,
Where did we just jump to? It makes perfect sense that you're not chayav on eating A. How did that happen?
You didn't eat A. You ate B. It happened to have some flavoring of A. That's what tam kikar means.
Could we say the exact same thing about something where that's going to be tam l'shvach, where I'm not eating the delicious orla sugar here. I'm eating the shredded wheat, and there just happens to be some sugar.
Yes, but I'm nana from the tam of the sugar. Here the point is I'm not nana.
No, then the question is that the fact that you can taste something. And the fact that you're getting hana from that taste is not a mukhrach connection in terms of its level of iser. Like the same way we formulating the iser, it was never that. Like maybe it was just an implied step, but that like I'm eating this taroves and I can taste the iser, and so it's like I'm eating the iser. It's in there in some way.
But because of some type of a I'd call like xeris akasut xerimid rabbanim of tam keikar, right? There's clearly a difference between two kinds of tam pogums, between ben versus tam. I would agree with you, Be'en, that's what the Rashba says. The standard for Be'en is edibility, whether it's actually Nevela Srucha, whether it's Ru'uya Lager or not. The standard for when it's only a Tam is whether the Tam is actually productive or not productive. I think that makes perfect sense. The whole point is you're not eating the Isser, you're only getting the Tam of the Isser. And so you're only Chayev. In other words, when you're eating the ben, it has to be truly inedible because you're eating the ben. Is it edible or not? When A flavors B, you're eating B. The question is, but I taste A. The question now, all that you have is tam. For that tam to be considered the equivalent of the nevela real ger, it has to be tam, which is
there
a token.
There is no logical reason to suggest.
Let me ask a clarification question.
Yes.
Possibly not. What are you saying then that an iser when it's ben and an iser and terovis are qualitatively different iserim?
Yeah, is that a chiddush? Is that novel?
Because I think what he's suggesting is that you're dealing with the same iser and it's a question about the hana of that.
I know, but that's I think almost a given in the discussion. Forget for those we shown and hold the tam kikers drabanon. Even if you take one position in the Balei HaTosfos, that you're not that tam kikar might only be an iser asay. I'm avoiding right now the Kazakhs and the Achilles Pras question, right? The tam kikar is only an iser asay. Yes, the answer is an iser be'en and an iser b'taroves. It may be qualitatively different. Think about chametz dagan gomer and pesach and chametz dagan gomer and taroves. Two iserim deraisa, one gets karis, one doesn't. Why is that so hard to grasp? That there's a difference between the be'en and tam. Yeah.
But we're inventing an extra category of tam based on what?
Even the Ran does. The Ran is now just making a calculation. Well, I taste it. But it's pogame. Ah, so it's really motor. But if the volume increases enough, I get hana from the fact that these two got mixed in, then the tam is a problem?
So what the Ran is doing is very, very clever. What the Ran is doing is saying, how is...
Is turning an Isser Achila into an Isser Hana very clever? Maybe. The Rashba didn't think so.
So we could look at the Ran. What the Ran is doing is he's saying, the Gemara very clearly has a category of Yonzi Tam Luka. How are we getting there? Right, and instead of just inventing an isra hana that always accompanies that is somehow like an extra level that you're adding to tam, that you're saying tam is all of a sudden bound up with hana, even though that like seems to have nothing to do with the nature of tam itself. So what the Ran is doing is he's saying, how are we
Except
going to
question.
Get an analogous? How is taroves going to be analogous to nevela srucha?
I just explained to you how it's going to be analogous to this. So I have a question for you: a nevela srucha. Is it mutter because you don't like because it makes you sick, or because the flavor is so icky that nobody wants to eat it?
I don't know.
I would assume the latter. If you eat it, does it sustain you? Yes. If it doesn't make you sick and doesn't kill you, it sustains you. Probably nevela srucha would. But, so, isn't it really, it ultimately is about tam. whether the tam is palatable, okay.
So why are there different dina by taroves and by...
Because in one case you're eating the iser, in the other case you're only tasting the iser.
And you're just inventing that chiluk. Like, they're inventing
Invent that chiluk.
The Rashba invented the chiluk, fine.
Did not invent the chiluk. The fact that there's a discussion about Tom Kiker in the first place tells you that the two are different. That Mamad,
unless you can actually therefore let's invent something out of thin air. If you can actually
Did you happen to notice in the Gemara where the Gemara talks about the machlokas of Tama Mamasha, Tama Vala Mamasha? Right in the middle of the sugya. The Rashba didn't invent the chiluk out of thin air.
I mean, what does that have to do? Where does that mention hana'ah anywhere in that discussion?
It doesn't, because it's not about hana'ah, it's about te'ima. About the te'ima being a productive te'ima.
And in that case, te'ima. Which would be the exact same thing, if that has nothing to do with hana'ah.
Hana'ah's te'ima, not hana'ah's stam.
Yes, it does have to do with hana'ah.
Hana'ah's te'ima is not...
Not the halachic category of hana'ah. We're talking about...
The pleasurability to the taste buds. There is such a word.
And we're getting that out of Tamo Mamasho?
No. Once you're you didn't have to say this, but the idea of Tam Ki Ikar is that once you're no longer dealing with Mamasho Shel Iser, then if the Tam is detrimental, I neither ate the Iser, nor did I get Hanas Ti'ima of the Iser. Because I would have been better off in the taste without it. The Ran is a huge chiddush. Okay, but we could sit and argue all day here. But I would even take a vote who thinks you're right or not, but we might not get an honest vote because people might be too scared of me. So.
Not to mention, we know
that
popular vote doesn't really count.
That's true. This is a dictatorship of one. Okay, yeah, let's see.
First, this is the case where the food is chagum with the atzma. So in that case, so that's the case where it's not. That's the case.
That's the melech shrucha.
Right. So in that case, we say that it's not oster at all.
Correct. It's mutar, but for the atzma. There is, by the way, a machlokes harishonim. I think the Russian Rabbeinu Yonah, when you have an avela srucha, there is a machlokes, I believe, whether or not there's an issur rabbanon if you to eat it because of achshavei. In other words, by your eating it, are you now machshavei and rendering it as edible? And I'll tell you where this issue comes up. If I'm not mistaken, I've never really had the chance to research this, but I learned this a long time ago. The issue of gelatin is, I believe, totally upon this issue. Because what happens with gelatin today is they take the parts of the bone, the marrow, they dry it out, and they grind it up, dry it out, and then it still retains its enzyme properties, and they're able to use it to whatever it is that makes jello, the maimed of jello. However, when it's reduced, when it's dehydrated and ground up and so on, it's inedible. So the question is, does that mean therefore it's mutter? It's like nevela srucha, and it is forever mutter. Or do you say that since you actually use it and like it that way because you put it in the whatever, I don't know what jello looks like before they stick the gelatin in. I know what it looks like afterwards. And because you choose to eat it that way, that's called achshavei and is an issur d'rabbanan. I believe that's what that machlok is about. The same issue, by the way, comes up with the rennet. I mean, it may not be an issue anymore. That's a different issue. But the question of non-kosher rennet, if they take the hide of the stomach, the or hakeva, and they dry it out and grind up into a powder, and that's used that contains the rennet or whatever the enzymes that are in the stomach, so it's inedible during a certain point. But now you put it into the milk, and it's perfectly edible. Maybe that's a problem of achshavei. In other words, if you're going to eat it that way, maybe that's a problem. I'll tell you where it's not a problem. Very important to realize that when you're dealing with medicines that are not chewable, it is not considered achila. And even though you may be swallowing it, you're not swallowing it as a food. You're swallowing it only as medicine. And therefore, there's no even according to the sheet that it would say that achshavei is a problem, there's no problem of achshavei there. right? Which is why it's not a problem for people who need to take medication. If it's untrueable, let's say on Yom Kippur, it's not, assuming, ignoring Xeris or Four for the moment, it's not a problem. It becomes a problem when you need something to wash it down. That's when it becomes a difficult issue. Sim.
If you assume that Kosein Tam and the Vela case function more similar than how your sheet does making it, wouldn't the gelatin case be an issue with Sofa Lashbiyah?
No, first, I don't think that applies. It doesn't apply by a nevela. Sofa Lashbiyach doesn't apply there, actually.
Doesn't Sofa Lashbiyach mean that the taste will eventually improve? And
but you're getting
it makes the gel taste better.
What's that?
The powder, I assume, is not making the gel taste any better. It's just giving it structure.
Well, that's the same. That for our purposes, Davar Maimit is like no Saint Tom.
In terms of, but could Sofa Lashbiyach be a limited...
I don't understand that. I think the Vela Srucha, that then Al Pidin, doesn't apply. In other words, once it's only by no Saint Tam, when it's not Pogum Mifnei Atzmo, but it's no Saint Tam of Gam, and then it's going to be Mashpiach, that's a different issue than when it's Mamish Srucha. Once it's Srucha, Al Pidin, the Isser never comes back.
But if it's Srucha, you're going to have a Hanav.
Outside again of the machlokas of Achshavei on the Rabbanan level, it's mutter. Yossi.
Who would be passing like in the machlokas Tanayim? It has to be Sruchamikara.
Who do we, come on Yossi, who do we paskin like? Of course we paskin, it doesn't have to be Sruchamikara. How do we paskin on the same time of Gam? Mutter Asar, because it's Haba Hatalia. Mutter. So the pasuk is even it's not Tzrucha Meikar. Tzrucha Meikar lo Tzrucha Kar.
Right.
Okay. Adin, go ahead.
Masa l'stor, l'isuri mafsa v'hafik tam. In noting tam with gamhu mutter, masa narin b'ajit benzonan, shayta maybe, etc.
Fine. So no Saint Tam of Gam is mutter. Now the Gemara says on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph.
Zehaklal, Kozer on Tovedot Yisam, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Tafi Yilkata. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Lo Shanu Ela Shanu.
Which is, by the way, interesting. It appears that a lot of Rishonim may not have had this Girsa. If this is not my Ha'ara, I just saw someone point this out. It might be in the... What?
I saw in the Kiddush Yargaos in the bottom of the Torah.
Yes. Now, I realize why he quotes one thing, but if you look in Tosus in Avodah Zarah, in second parak spends a little bit of energy trying to prove from the Sugya Steh that we paskin and Osein Tam of Gam is Mutter. The problem that Tosus experienced was that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they would go there on Shemen Shel Akum. The Gzera was never accepted, but the question is, why would they have asked Shemen Shel Akum? And one of the reasons given in the Gemara is Mishum Giulei Kleinachem. So the question is, why would they have asked it? Stam Kalim Shogayim and Apin Ayoman, it's Nosei Tam of Gam. So it sounds like Bishamay Beisel both held that Nosei Tam of Gam was Aser. So Tosus comes up with an answer, but Tosus really tries to prove from a number of Gemaras later in the second parak, that I think is Tosus Almad Vav. Tosus tries to prove from a number of Gemaras in the second parak of Avodah Zarah later on that Nosei Tam of Gam we paskin his mother. That seems to be the Stam assumption of the Gemara. Which is odd if you have an explicit Gemara that paskins that way, because then all you need to do is to say the Gemara Sugin of Odzer paskins that way. End of discussion. Okay, but be that as it may, the Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel.
Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Lo shanu ela shenafal atov grisin rotchin. Aval nafal atov grisin tzornin v'hir tichon. Naase kimishe shbiach ulubasof pagam v'asar.
Why? Why is it asar? If it's an anor saint ham of Gam, why should it be asar? It's a very simple svara, but it's not obvious until you stop and think carefully.
Because if you had eaten it right away, it would have been.
That's
been
the first step. I understand, but now it's so. Then you're right, but now it's pogan. I understand. Had you eaten it when it first fell in, when the greasin were cold, the vinegar would have deposited flavor. Once you cook it in the greasin, eh.
So do we do it? Do we define the tarov as? Well, it doesn't work by the tour and other rishonim's inference that. This implies the flip side, but you say that we define the Tarovis from when Tarovis begins, and then who cares what happens later? Like that becomes that. Okay, if when you pour it in, it's good. Then this is a Tarovis Hashvach, and what happens later doesn't affect that identity. But that
Sar wouldn't work for him.
Well, I think you're on the right track. Somebody on a hand raise. Bhante?
Well, like you said, that when it falls in, it makes the flavor better, so now it's just... now that's what it is. Now it's this thing with vinegar in it, and happens to be you don't heat things up that have vinegar in it because they taste bad. But this thing is now a dish that has vinegar in it, and that when it's cold is good.
I think you understand. You could say it a little sharper, which is, once the vinegar falls into the cold food, and it tastes good, in order for this to become mutar on the grounds of Nosei Talmud Chacham, what has to happen? It has to be an avela srucha mamish. It has to be pagum ifnei atzma. Because the vinegar is now part of the food. This food is iser now. This is, vinegar flavored potato chips. Now that you heat it up, now it tastes not so great. That's okay. It's still iser. Right? It doesn't. The fact that what's causing the iser is one particular component of a food doesn't matter, because that is part of this new food. So when something is initially nosei tam l'shvach, that food becomes usr, and if that food becomes defined, everything that's in it. In order for it to become mutter, you have to have that again.
How does that work when the Torah assumes that it implies that sofo l'shviach is also usr?
So that doesn't explain when it's Pogei Meikara and Sofa Lashpiach. Nobody really sort of explains that issue. It's almost like the svara there might be is that when it's put in, that's the way you sort of make all things. Right? Now, there's many things that when you put them in, they don't taste good yet, but when you finally pull everything together... Let's say, for example, I took some chazir and I want to cook it with two other ingredients, of which are inedible if you put one in but not the other. So let's say I take the pot of chazir and I mix in ingredient A. Now the pot's total really inedible, but I knew my plan was to mix in B because nobody puts in A without putting in B. So I don't think it's a far reach to say that that's not called an avela srucha. That's just the way you make the food. So in some sense, pogum esofo lashpiach means that's the way the food is made. Yudi?
So it's the fact for the second case is that at the beginning when you poured it in, it's good dish, and now
it improves the flavor when it's cold, but you heat stuff with vinegar and it's not good, apparently.
So it has nothing to do with the din of
the. No, that's just the way it happens to go from shvach to gam.
So if at the beginning it was poured in and it made it nasty, then it would for sure be nothing to do with gum.
Yes, but only if it was going to stay that way. If it was something you intended to cook, and cooking would actually now make it shvach, that would be a problem, yes. But that is less well explained than the other one.
The basis of it is kind of constructed in the eyes of the Rishonim as like a kol shekhen, which doesn't work. Maybe that was just
not reason. I'm not sure how well the kol shekhen works. The kol shekhen would be because one of them you wind up with the final product not being so good or not being as good, and the other one you wind up with the final product being actually improved. So, but there is. But you're correct. The way I'm explaining, it's not so pashut that it should be a kal v'chomer. Okay, let's continue.
Why would they take mutzer vinegar?
It's just that's describing the food they would make. It's not. It wasn't the minagensi pari to trace stuff up or to play games with those at Hanukkah.
But they'd also cook it after.
What's that?
They wouldn't just pour it.
I didn't hear you because Schlein was making a joke that he wasn't sharing with all of us.
I said, chicken and cheese. That's what they do in Sipari. They do trade them for kitchen.
In the Galilee. Okay, there you go. Now, probably only Bimakom, basically. Did he live? He exiled to Sipari. You might be right. That's where he's exiled. Okay, there you go. Chicken cheeseburgers and Sipari. Excellent. Now, what was your question, Yossi?
So, in Sipari, they would pour in the vinegar onto the cold beans and then heat it up.
And heat up, yeah.
But even though it was...
No.
They wouldn't.
No, they used to put vinegar into cold beans.
Right, just that. Okay.
Yes.
Kind of silly.
Chips and vinegar. Okay. Fine. Continue.
No tain time of gam and sha'amru. Lo she'e amru k'deir zo chasera melech etera melech chasera tavlin etera tavlin. Ela kol she'ein chasera klum ve'inana echel mipnei zeh.
There's an ikadami, and then to highlight what the differences are. Ikadami.
Ikadami amri shaki zo she'tam of gam she'amru ein omen k'deir zo chasera melech etera melech chasera tavlin etera tavlin. Ela hashta miya ha'pagwa.
What is the difference between these two statements?
Is it in the meaning or in the words of the...
First in the words, because if you're trying to figure out what the difference is...
So it's the difference between lo she'e amru and ein omen.
Yeah, Losha Yomru, by the way, probably.
Losha Yomru and the Ein Omri.
Okay, I don't know if that's significant or not. And the second, obviously, much more important difference.
Is the Hashta Miha HaPagma and the other one of Ina Chasira Klum. The first Lashon would say that if the dish had too much salt, and because of that...
As if the dish weren't complete, and that might be contributing to why the Isser is being pogam, that's called Nosin Talmudkan. It has to be the dish is ready, the dish is good, it's properly salted, it's properly spiced, not overly salted, not overly spiced, and now the thing is pogam. Then that's called Nosin Talmudkan. Whereas the second Lashon says, no, it doesn't matter what's wrong with the dish and whatever else is wrong with the dish. If this thing is pogam right now, even if it's only pogam, in combination with the other pogam, they come together, make one big happy pogam, still, that's called Nosei Tamufgam. Yes, Daniel.
So if you have a dish, everything's good, it's complete, it would taste great, some Isser falls into it. Because the Isser offset the balance, now it severely needs salt. Meaning it didn't need salt, it was fine the way it was. The Isser fell in, and now it really needs to be salted or it's gross. How would that fit into this discussion?
Well, since we possibly like the second Lashon, we don't really care. Anything that's pogame, it doesn't matter why it's pogame, is mutter.
Well, what would the first Lashon say about that?
If because of this it needs salt, I don't know, you might say that that's actually called being pogame. In other words...
He means
that independent of this Isser falling in, it wasn't salted properly.
Then what's the Hava Mina that you would have thought before he made this statement? What's the Hava Mina that you would have thought that was pogame, according to Lashon number one?
According to Lashon number
one.
Yeah.
It needs salt anyway. You have a dish and it needs
right.
salt. Then something else
And salts. because you didn't put enough salt in yet, the other thing is pogame. Whereas had you put enough salt in, it might not have been pogame.
That's a toast though. Toast is you view it as like the idealized dish and then consider...
Yeah, but wouldn't you assume for the first Lashon, even if when you add more things in and you therefore need more salt, it would still not be tam or gum? But it says, Eino Necha Mipnei Zed. Like, it seems like there's nothing else missing and there's nothing you can do with this thing. There's no way you can make it taste better. It seems like the point is that this has to be the reason you can't eat the dish.
Right.
And even if, so in his question, it seems like it shouldn't be Nosei Talmudkam. Because if you can add more salt and then it'll taste good, it wouldn't be Nosei Talmudkam.
Right.
Yes, except for right now, this is the thing that was goreim. In other words...
But he doesn't seem to care about right now. He seems to care more about the fact that it's only this thing is what's making it taste bad, and whether you have salt or spices, it won't help.
But presume that nothing would be forgotten, because you would probably offset and offset.
I can't tell which is really... Even in the formula of Shigamar, I don't think you can tell which is the causative factor. Is it because it's unfixable now, or is it because the Isser is the cause of the inability?
Did you see Rashi on the first Lashon?
I did. What was...
I had thought that was the question I asked. I thought Rashi was reading. Maybe I misread Rashi.
Which Yibam Aschel?
I don't have it.
Oh, you don't have it. What do you think Rashi says?
I thought Rashi was explaining Lashon number one as the case of the question I was asking. Meaning that your balance, everything was complete, everything was good, and once your Isser fell into it, it offset the salt balance or something, and now you really need salt. No?
I think so. If you look tomorrow and see if you can find what you're referring to.
Would anyone say if vinegar fell into my soup and it was no tin top of gum, but I would not taste the vinegar anymore if I added a cup of milk, that I have to do that? No one would say that, right? According to that question, that there's a habanina that you might, that if you could fix this dish,
right.
Then you would have to.
Well, there is an issue. If you can remove the Isser, then you are mechayev. So if you can remove its tam, maybe you should be mechayev. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure.
No, but by that logic, what?
But not only it applies if it's no same tam of gum.
Does it apply if it's no same tam?
Nasha?
Well, yeah,
yeah, that's where the Ramah's case is. You're supposed to remove the chela. You put the...
That's all, but that wasn't because of a concern of time, just because of yachol.
Lasira.
Lasira. But that's kind of like a be'en issue. Like you could remove it. You
right.
Be'en.
And here...
Where you're just canceling out... In Lashraf, it's not a thing, because if you can taste it, it's Mithasar, and you can't cancel it out without...
Right. It's without Mithasar.
Should I keep going?
Yeah.
I'm going to be on...
Oh, one second, time. Yudi.
For the first opinion, it's that the order doesn't matter, and therefore, let's say you have this... The order does matter for the first, and then therefore...
No, the second one, I understand the order doesn't matter, but the second one... The first one, the only way you can say Nosei Tam Lefgam is Mutter is if that's the cause. The cause is this issue. But if there are other causes involved that are causing you to say, that causing it not to taste so good, that's not a head there for this. And the second Lashrut says, no, it doesn't matter why. As long as this particular issue, it happens to be pogging for whatever the reasons, whatever the ingredients might be missing, what the recipe might be missing, then that's called Nosei Tam Lefgam. Go ahead, Adin.
Okay.
So
focusing on that last line, if you are continuing.
Uh-huh. The lema.
Im natan tam lefgam mutar. Hakamashwalan the afagab the ikamili achrinita de pagma bahade the afalbi the ikamili achrinita de pagma bahade.
What does that mean?
That the fact that there's riba means that there's implies that there's already something else that is being pogame the taste. It's like you're increasing the amount of t'imat pagam, which implies that it's even if there is something else already that's being pogame the taste, that if this thing comes along and is mirabe time with gam, it's mutter. Even if we could be told that on something else.
Perhaps. Okay, and the Gemara says here.
And the hilchot kelishna b'after the reshakish.
Right.
So this is a proof for the second lashon.
Right. Now, of course, one could argue, if you see, if you took the word v'hilchasa out, you could also read the sentence, kilishna bas reish lakish. So here's, by the way, where somebody said, when the Aras have, that they didn't, in the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have the line, not on the previous one. But I would comment on the previous one. As here's where I think the Hagos in the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch says, that it seems that some Rishonim didn't have this, because they paskin like the second lashon reish lakish, but there's a line somewhere about it. You'll see in the Beis Yosef. But the truth is, I think the Hilchasa about Nosei Tam Lefgam, if you look, you have to check the Rush in Abu Dazara in the second Perek, brings a lot of proofs to try to demonstrate that we paskin Nosei Tam Lefgam is Usur, as Mutter, excuse me. So the question is, why did he appeal to this Beferish Gemara? I don't think he cites it explicitly. Okay. Anyway, fine. We're almost done. Not quite.
A
little more, yeah.
So
all the shitas that were quoted, right? First, Shmuel Paskin in that way.
And Rabin, Rabba Bar Rechana, Rish Lakish, Rashi was the four. So Amar Le'Abai, Bishlam Mikulhu L'Chaye, Ella. I understood the question and answer, but I didn't understand the exact words here.
Ella the Reish Lakish, Amru Ka Amar. He didn't Velelo Svirle. He didn't say that we paskin that way. Reish Lakish just said, "No Saint Talmukam She Amru," right? Not to say that he subscribed to it, but those who hold that No Saint Talmukam is mutter, that's what it means.
What does the first part mean?
Not as much as, but it's not crazy either. It is a little bit of a stretch. Normally, you would say. If Omar Shmuel, Amru, they said the following, I'd agree. But no same time, She Amru.
It means the custom,
no same
time.
What's that?
That the rabbis talk about.
Right.
That I disagree.
Right. Yossi?
The words on Mishlamba mean Mikuhu L'chaye?
L'chaye means wonderful.
Oh, L'chaye means, okay.
I don't know exactly what its etymology is, but we'd say it's wunderbar. It's wonderful.
But doesn't Mikuhu say, Mikuhu means like all of this.
From all the other opinions that you cited, they all midibrei kulam no mad no setam fkas mutter. So Abai says b'shlamo mikulu, your proofs are good proofs, except for one, the Reish Lakish.
So it's kulu here means everyone aside for one.
Right, everyone. When Rakana said midibrei kulam, that's the kulu Abai is referring to. So now the Gemara says, right, the fact that you say, How do you know that there's a man dominus and tam kanamis aser? Because when you say halacha, kiploni, it implies that there's someone who argues. So he said, might not. That's not a definitive.
I thought it was saying from his statement of midivrei kulam, it means that like there are other dvarim. Like from all of these people, we learn nosi tam of gam is mutter. But when you say like, oh, from the fact that Danny and Rabbi Weider say it, that kind of implies that there are other people who don't say it. I thought that's what he was asking. Like from his formulation of midivrei kulam, like that implies there are other dvarim.
No, I would just say the havamina that somebody would differ is what suggests. I think that's enough.
So yes, there is someone. This is a Vahatanya thing is a proof, right?
Mm-hmm.
Vahatanya. Echad notin tam lefgam, echad notin tam l'shvach asur divir Rabbi Meir. Rishon omer l'shvach asur lefgam mutter.
It appears that there's like some sort of gruesome problem with this Gemara, by the way, I think. Like, the volume, I don't think the volume I was using had the line like, well, the ikalamant that owns the notin tam lefgam asur.
Really?
I could be wrong.
I'm looking in the Gemara right now, and he's reading off the sheet. And there's nothing in the Hagos
Vitzionim.
The Hagos Vitzionim has nothing here. This is really a Talmud offprint, I think. Yossi.
So again, the line Michlal, the Ika. That what from what are they being Michlal?
So I think from the fact that Abai says, or the fact that somebody says Amar Avkana Mikubikol Nuvan Stamp Gam is Mutter. So it sounds like that these people hold that way, but the others who don't.
So the Mechal's going back.
Is a bias. Look at Rashi. Oh, you don't have Rashi. Rashi says Mechal dika lemandamar b'tmiya mi the itzrich raf kahana lememar mi divrei kulanumad Mechal dika lemandapoli.
So which is presumably Reish Lakish?
Well, no, because Reish Lakish is a dechia. Reish Lakish might be read as Amru. They said, but he doesn't necessarily hold of it.
Right. So basically, we're bringing two points of evidence to show that
first we show from Avkana's statement the way he formulated that he assumed that there were those who argued. Now we want to actually find someone who definitively argues. So they quote a brisa. Echad no sein tam lefgam.
Echad no sein tam lefgam. Echad no sein tam lefshvach. Aser divrei Meir. We show over the shvach. Aser lefgam mutter. My time is Rabbi Meir. Gavar mi gilay odei kochavim. Gilay odei kochavim. Ma no sein tam lefgam hu.
And nonetheless, Vasa Rachmana. Okay, now you guys, of course, could have figured out immediately the answer without reading the next line in the Gemara, but the Gemara says, Idach. Right, the Torah only asserted a Kedera Basioma, which is not no Saint Tam, which is no Saint Tam Lashvach. But after that, it's a Mutter.
I think the
Pisa
said that that's only Xer Jarabana. That even Rabba, even Rabba. Even Rav
Huna here would say,
I'm
not sure that
like, oh,
Rav Huna
thinks you don't have to
Togel Kalem
that aren't Bat Benyoma. But I think
basically
it's formulated as like, the Torah
is
only also that, and then after that it's a...
And we know the
Rabbanan
asked it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the Jay Rabbi. You can't cook
an Benyoma,
Otto
Benyoma. All right. The Idach,
that's a very interesting question. He says, even a Kedera Bat Yoma, it's Pogaim a little bit. And the fact that the Torah requires you to kashir it tells you no Sein Tam Lefgam is Aser.
And the Ron uses this to prove that, isn't this how he gets the Gom Ksat? He supports Rashi, who says that even if it's Pogaim Ksat.
Okay.
Rabbi Shimon, my time.
Isn't this a problem for the notion of bliyot in general? We assume that all bliyot are lefgam.
So I think we assume that they're not really pogaim within 24 hours.
So
the question is, what's the question? What's the machlokas, the way the Gemara presents it, of Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Aram, and Rabbi Shimon? Is the machlokas a metzias?
Interesting.
And what's that?
I thought it was saying that Rabbi Meir shows that we don't really care that, I guess Rabbi Meir does it.
Right. In other words, or is it a machlokas in what the gather of tam is? You can say whatever you want because there's no information provided in the Gemara.
I mean, either you shouldn't need to kasher it, or you should need to kasher it, but it should be lefgam.
I don't understand.
I'm sorry. Let me take that back. If the tam of a ben yomo is
pogaim b'miktas,
Pokemon mix us, then it should be much better.
So that's the whole point. So Rudy Mayer says that's why it's Usser. The fact that it Torah says you're not allowed to cook in these kelim, and the assumption is necessary not to cook, but could ask the food, means that even though it's Pagum Tzas, nonetheless, it's Asr, which tells you, unless the time of come, is Mutter. Is Asr,
okay.
Excuse me.
Doesn't that mean Nino Ben Yomo is Asr also?
So the question would be, the answer might be that it's a good question. I wonder whether that sheet actually holds its usher.
How would you hold its mutter? What would the spar be that in a ben yomo selni mutter? You would say it doesn't give any time even to piyam.
What would the spar that it would be mutter?
In a ben yomo, according to this sheet, that a ben yomo is usher because of the slight no sin tam piyam. The only way to say that an in a ben yomo is mutter is to say it's not giving any time even.
And again, that's according to the Manda Amar.
That Pogain Porta is Asr.
And it's Asr. So maybe they would hold. Is it clear they would hold that Eina Ben Yomo? Or is this a Teretz? Yesh Lo Pagma Porta is just a Ledivar, is Lashit Asif. In other words, I hold that since a Ben Yomo is Pogain Porta and the Torah Asr's it also even an Eina Ben Yomo is Asr. So I would have presumed that the Manda Amar that Nosei Talmud Kam is Asr does in fact Asr Kalim. He's just saying even you guys should be moded to me. You know why? Because you agree that Torah Asr is a Kli Ben Yomo. And even a Kli Ben Yomo is Pagma Porta, and therefore you should mode the Nosei Talmud Kam is Asr. What the result would be is that even beyond Eino Ben Yomo would still be Asr. And what would the Chacham respond? The Gemara doesn't really...
They probably said it. It's not
just not really...
It's not Pogain. Ben Yomo is not Pogain.
So it's Machlokas Metzias? But Yair just told me there's no such thing as a machlokas and mitzvahs.
It's true.
I know. What?
Even just the exergs of Pasu Valley on the first day would be Asr, but other cases.
Now you have a problem. Once you're going to get into the Gemara does discuss this in somewhere else in...
Yeah,
no. What's that? Right, where it talks about Binyanav and so on and what you learn from. For the moment, let's just ignore that. Okay. So it comes up also in Pesachim, in the third parak, in the sugi of Heta Mitzdara Fleser, Mishras. Okay. Rabbi Shimon.
I'm sure my time. Tanya lo tochu kol nevela, lager sher v'sharecha. Kol haruya lager kriya nevela, shagina ruya lager ena kriya nevela. Rabbi Meir, hagu lemiyute, srucha meikara. Rabbi Shimon, srucha meikara, lo tzricha miyuta, afra v'amahu.
Doesn't require mute. What?
What is he saying? Oh, he's saying...
He says, Nevela Srucha is Afra Balma. It's like dirt. You don't need an Isser to tell you. Torah to tell you, it's mutter to eat dirt.
So he's talking about... So meaning Srucha Meikara is Afra Balma.
Correct.
And the other thing is...
Amar Ula, Machloket, Sheish Biach Uvesof Paga. Abar Paga Meikara, Direi Eitayr Paga Ula, Yain Shachal Toch Adashim, Mechomet Shachal Toch Gris and Asur, Rabbi Shimon Matir. Vahachad, the Paga Meikara, Ulu Plige. Amar Ula, Chaga, Lome De Yadi Maikam Yerabana.
He doesn't understand. He doesn't know what's going on in Shir, but he asks Kashas. He hasn't learned some Gemaras. He's asking questions anyway.
Hachav Mayaskina.
I'm going to miss him after this year, by the way. You know that. So... Okay.
Kigon shenafal atoch grisim tzornim lihir ticham naasa kimisha eshbiach ulosof pagam va'asur. The case that Chaga is bringing is a case itself of sofa litgo, not a case of pagam eikar.
Right.
Rav Yochanan Amar pogim the pogim eikar machloket. Yibaylehu pogim eikar machloket aval eshbiach ulosof pagam yirecho asur o dilma be'mizel machloket. Thank you.
Okay. Fine. Did I ask you to go any further? That's it. We can leave with the last part.
Does this mean that the Gemara, that the Yasser Rabbi Amar Abba Baruch Han Amar Miyochan at the very beginning of the Gemara,
was saying that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. In other words, how is this working? Right? We just said that the Yain Shenapal, let's go on Dushim, Bechon Shenapal, no priest in Asur Rabbi Shimon Matir. Hula is Mokim that as in a case of basically Hishbicha no Lasopaka. Right? The exact same as at the very beginning of the Gemara in Sama Zion. Yet the Gemara in Sama Zion says that that's the case that the Mishnah is talking about, and it's Asur. Does that mean the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir?
When we say that, if you hold that Hishbiach Levasot Pagam, everybody asers.
Well, that's what Ula is saying, right?
No, he's saying it's...
Ula is saying that Rabbi Yochanan holds its mutter. Hishbiach Levasot Pagam, Rabbi Shimon. Why do we keep saying Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Shimon holds its mutter.
Right.
Within Ula. Which means that earlier in the Gemara, at the third line of this Gemara, the Mishnah on Sahai is talking about El Shinabal Tel Priestin Rose Bain Abel Nabal Tel Priestin Sonibir Tichan, Nasak Mishish Biapo, also Bagam, the Asr.
Right.
Which means the Mishnah is working with Rabbi Meir.
No. No, it means that the question is why does the Gemara not bring a Raya that Mistama he holds that it's, that that's Rabbi Shimon's position. He holds that Rabbi Shimon is held there by Shbiacho Sopaga. That, in fact, is the way we pasken.
So right. So we're saying, because we don't pasken like Rabbi Shimon with an Ula.
Correct.
So...
Correct. We pasken like a more machmir position of Rabbi Shimon.
So...
We might be pasken like Rabbi Meir with an Ula, right?
So do we... So despite the fact that Ula, you know, criticizes Rabbi Chaga here, he leaves off his honorific and everything. So despite that, really, Ula wasn't working with the Elkim to the thing of our main Mishnah?
Yeah, he doesn't have to agree with that. Yeah.
So how does he read the Mishnah?
Well, would read the Mishnah that doesn't matter whether it's Rabbi Shimon's Shita probably, and he could read either way. He could read with the Ukim to the Gemara and the Mishnah's Rabbi Meir, or he could read without the Ukim to the Gemara and say the Mishnah is talking about whether or not it was hot or cold, because in the end you're going to heat it. And the Mishnah is Shitas Rabbi Shimon.
Okay, he's just holding on Rabbi Yochanan, the name of Rabbi.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's interesting is that the Gemara here, when it asks Rabbi Yochanan Amar, I just want to ask him, "Poge mikar machlokas, ibalu poge mikar machlokas al shvias
tabanat
asim." Right, and as they could have looked back at that particular line. Now the question is, you still would know because who would Rabbi Yochanan be saying the Mishnah is?
Rabbi
right? Yochanan. Who would Rabbi Yochanan be say that the Mishnah is?
I mean,
when he makes that comment earlier,
if he holds machlokes by Pogi Meikara, then that means the Rabbi Meir wholesale rejects.
So if they argue by both cases, then obviously he has to be saying the Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon. But if Rabbi Shimon Momoda there, then what did he say in the beginning? He said that Hishpiach, that Hishpiach of the Basot Pagam is Aser. So that either, if he holds that they argue across the board, it is Rabbi Meir's position. If he holds they don't argue across the board, then even Rabbi Shimon would agree to that. Rabbi Shimon was in the mouth of a Pogam Yikar. But it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't actually try to pull things together, maybe because it's not dispositive. It's not going to prove it one way or the other. Okay. Let's take a look at the Ran on the Riff. The Ram did not like the Rashba. Yes, Yossi?
Just a question. According to Chaga,
yeah.
Is there a machloket about a case where it's worth only poking at the end, or according to Chaga, everyone agrees that it's awesome?
Hold on one second. Rabbi Chaga just made according to Ula, made a mistake.
Right, but I guess, he was arguing, okay, but don't
he assumed that the Mishnah was a case where it was, he assumed that the Brisa, excuse me, was a case where the Adashim were hot, and the Tanakama Asim, even though it was Pogam Eikara, to which Ula said wrong.
I guess I'm just curious because at the end we end up saying that the two possibilities is that either it's either it's for sure usur and yukara, but it but and then there's a but and there's machloket in a case where it's pogging afterwards, or we say that there's a machloket of both cases. But when I first read,
I'm not sure I'm following.
Meaning, if oh we say oh dilma bein bazu ubein bazu.
Maybe rough, maybe the, maybe even in a case where it's pagam eikara, what we in a case where it's shviyach also pagam, they argue. I mean, they're Rabbi Shimon still makes them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, let's quickly read the Ran. Sam, did you read recently?
I did see them last week, but I don't really care that much to read
okay. Danny, why don't you read the Ran?
Love to.
I knew that.
Is that read on Kol She'ena Chasira, Kol Be'ina Ne'afelet Mipneisim. Dirish Rashi Zal, V'lav Davka Ina Ne'afelet, Ela Kol She'enif Gam Ta'ama Mipneise Sharei. V'raya L'dvarav, Mikdera She'ena Bat Yoma, Dekharina Ma, Noten Ta'am Mipgam. V'vadai She'ena Pogemet Atashil Kokach Ajla Ye'ena Ne'afelet.
Yeah.
Kedera Bat Yoma Na.
How do you mean you cook in a Kedera She'ena Bat Yoma all the time? Food's perfectly edible. Okay, forget that. The real question is,
why do you
have to read this? So, yeah, we don't really have a good judge. To cook in a pot that hasn't really been cleaned and see if you like it as much, but...
Well, the real thing is
like cast iron skillets.
Yes.
I want my perfect means clean my cast iron skillet before I use it, so...
Except for the cast iron skillet, I thought the whole point is that you season it, it absorbs the oil, and then it doesn't really absorb after that. So the oil is fine. I think that's the whole idea.
Basically quoting the Rosh also, like, bringing a lot of proofs that it doesn't necessarily need to be inedible, but, why, like, of course it doesn't. Like, why would, like, okay, great, this inedible food is mutter. Like, it seems, like, it doesn't...
Okay,
seem
anyway.
Proofs
so if you have some, so you said, it said, go ahead. Uvikter
Basioma. Uvikter Basioma Nami Arinan Iyev Shar Zelo Pagma Furza. Alma de Vaporta Divgam Sharu. Vere Ladabar Od, Mishemen Udvash Vikorat Shal Khilti Dvidumehen, Shi Tirvarek in the Amidin, Mishum Notin Ta'am Livgam. Vadai Sheinan Nifsalim Achilat Adam, Shari Bulan Echalin.
Hey, that's how they make it. Alma.
Alma called the Ikaporta Divgam Shari. The Apple Gab, the Notin Ta'am Livgam in Nevela Gamrila, the Chol Shuruvila Ger Shme Nevela. The Aval Pi Shenifkima, Hatam Hainu Taima, the Nation Echelet Bifnei Atzma. Lodikach Asura, Adjati Pagem, Meahilat Ger. Aval, Yisur Ta'arovet, Shokhiba, Acharnitina Tatam, Kol Shetamok Pagem, Hatab Shio Ketzat, Mutar, Lufi Sheino Notin Tam. Lufi Sheino Notin Tam, the Adarabba, Pagem.
Okay, continue. The Rashba says that mamasho is gone. All you left with tamo, and so I think it's very mistaber. If you like the rhyme, I think it's very mistaber that when mamasho was there, So the argument that volume would be a more meaningful one if the mashal were there. But once you're only talking about tamel, my mashal is batel. So now the question is, what is the nature of that tamel? The nature of that tamel is negative, so then you're not really nana mi tamel. You're nana and it's technically my mashal, which doesn't exist anymore. Yes, Monty.
What's this karov ani lomar? Does he not really hold this?
You mean earlier, when he starts
his
position.
When he starts this
position. The answer is he doesn't have a raya to this. There's no raya mefureshes. It's a svara. Mm-hmm. Right, I would translate, I'm inclined to say, I'm inclined
right.
to think.
So does that mean, like, he wouldn't really pass something like this? I mean, at the end, he's kind of like, Rashba says this, and like, I don't like
this is not a typical occurrence. I don't know, really. You know, one of the things that the Ran also doesn't address is, how do you calculate that? How do you weigh Godel Midaso against Pegim Asayro?
How do you know?
Gan in general is one question. That's hard enough thing to figure out. Inside, when is it, you know, when is it really makes the food worse than it was? But the second question is, assuming you can calculate, you can create a scale for what makes the food, but how do you put a evaluation on that to weigh that against, well, now
yeah,
I have extra food?
I assume
at a certain if you believe that this is possible, which I don't, then you'd say like at a certain point you're glad it happened. Like if there was a half a cup of vinegar in here, like I
doesn't have to be vinegar.
Good. Whatever it is. But I'm saying choose. I'm just choosing vinegar because it's the taste.
Also, kept telling that like you're very privileged living in a community where you don't have to worry about food amounts. So like you worry about taste more. But if you're in a community which doesn't have a lot of food, then yeah, it tastes slightly worse. We have a lot more food now.
Okay, can I just say that I can't imagine this being a typically common occurrence?
No, imagine grain that's like not like filtered well, right? It's not filtered, but it's got like a lot of
sifted well.
Right, it's got like a lot of hard whatever, so it's edible, but a lot of people wouldn't like eating it. Even then, a lot of people didn't. It was clearly an inferior type of bread, but you know, it's more nutritious to have more of it. So that might have like more value on the market.
No, I'm sorry. That's not Nosei Tam of Gan. That's not Nosei Tam of Gan. Nosei Tam of Gan has to be
bread. You really, really nice fine sifted flour, and some of that gets mixed in.
And when it gets mixed in, no, that's not Nosei Tam of Gan. Nosei Tam of Gan has to be something that, again, I think people would objectively say that that this is really, you know, it's not. You know, I think that different people may get used to different things. But you would get people who would argue to you, like, for example, I'll tell you this personal argument. I don't know how anybody eats white rice. It's brown rice, to me, seems to have so much more flavor than white rice. I understand by other things why it's not quite as obvious, so I personally find the same thing by bread, generally, but that good whole grain bread is much more whatever. But
pretty clear, though, back then they thought it was inferior. Like
you can talk about superior and inferior, but I think there's a difference between superior and inferior and something that's actually pogame. I don't know exactly how to define that, but I think pogame is beyond that. I don't think
there has to be something foul, something like just like not
as fancy, not as, you know.
It tastes weird, it's probably like, but if it's your only food you have for the week, you're going
to
eat it.
No, I understand. Here and I are just to discuss what does it mean to be pogame as opposed to just not be the same thing as, you know, not the...
No, doesn't pagam porta imply that, like, even if it's, like, as long as it doesn't make it better and it doesn't make it exactly the same, then that's going to be some, like, if a teaspoon of vanilla fell into my chicken soup, like, is it going to affect the taste in a big way? No, but, like, it's...
Vanilla's good in everything. I thought. No, okay.
Like it's not going to make it radically different, but even the slightest change, as long as it's not for the better, seems to be mutter.
I'm not quite sure I'm convinced on his wheat case. Morty?
So, would you think you'd be able to apply Nosei Tam of Gan to something you would do with Chatchila? Like, if you were adding water and something to dilute it, but it's obviously much worse after you've added the water.
What kind of water are you talking about anyway?
No, I don't know exactly.
Yayin
so
and Avodah Zarah. Mine should
have that there's such thing as something that you're happy that you've added it in, even though it made it worse.
That was an amoeba.
So I mean, if you were to see it conceptually, you dilute, you have more soup.
If you're being bevatel afgan l'ikara,
again, so what I'm conflicted about that type of an example is that you can always dilute soup in the sense that people like it in different concentrations, right? If your soup has really boiled off, and yes, you need more soup to serve your guests, but if you add water, it's not really pogame because you're just restoring the soup to a level. So I hear what you're saying. What happens when you dilute things in a way? Because that's like, you're adulterating the food so as you have enough to feed your guests, right? So you're asking the question, is that called nosei tamufgam? So what if you use the, let's say the water were usser.
Or you use milk or something and it makes it worse. It makes your beef stew taste worse than it's milk.
Right, but you see, I could concede. I'm just saying
you're doing that for the purpose of meaning that it compensates that they.
The Ron would say that. The Ron would say that. I understand. I'm still not convinced adding the water is called nosei tamufgam. Right, there's a difference between adding the milk and adding the water.
But can you also say that it's impossible to construct a case of, like, maybe it's an achshavei thing that no one would be mevatel tamufgam beikara. Doing this on purpose so it tastes worse.
If you're adding something to it, it's even if it's there's a downside to it, you're adding because it's an upside. But I feel like it's almost like even to borrow something never shishmat here, it's an ingredient. As opposed to what I think the Ron will be talking about, cases where it doesn't belong there. And water does, that may be the answer to Mati, your question as well. In other words, it has to be something that doesn't belong.
Okay, so, I don't know, you could have a stew of anything else.
But if you put in an ingredient that really doesn't belong there, that's different than diluting the flavor a little, making it not as strong. But, all right. Anyway, so we will tomorrow we will move on to the tour. The last we have to read the smag. The smag is really important. That's probably the most complicated issue in the Beis Yosef here. Read that Beis Yosef. It's one of the last Beis Yosefs, long piece, very carefully, because if I'm not mistaken, I haven't looked at it again. The shach goes off on the Beis Yosef here. We're probably with a great deal of justification. There's a shach here and there's a shach earlier. I want to say Tzadi Beis Chaf Dalid in Basar B'Chalav. I don't know why the number sticks in my head. And we will have to take a look at that. Okay.